Let's go before the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your holy throne in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to honor your name, to bless you, because you're worthy of honor and all blessing, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for who he is and what he has done to accomplish salvation for his people. Lord, I pray for his people, his church, his body, the saints chosen before the foundation of the world, that they should be holy and without blame because of the cross, because of the imputation of righteousness, and that is by grace and grace alone. We thank you for the testimony of the Holy Spirit about this matter, and I pray now that the same Holy Spirit will teach us and illuminate the scriptures that testify of Christ and his work, the matter of our salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come again and hear from your word. We pray for all those who are in the hearing of this message, that you may open their ears, that they may see and hear that which is true and faithful. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. We are going to go back to Genesis, and today's message shall be from Genesis chapter 30, starting from verse 25 to 43. And this is what the Holy Spirit recorded for us by the pen of Moses, and said, "After Rachel had given birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me on my way so that I can go home to my own country.'" I'm reading from the NET translation, the NET, okay? Verse 26, "Let me take my wives and my children whom I have acquired by working for you. Then I'll depart, because you know how hard I've worked for you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, please stay here, for I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me on account of you." He added, "Just name your wages. I'll pay whatever you want." "You know how I've worked for you," Jacob replied, "and how well your livestock have fared under my care. Indeed, you had little before I arrived, but now your possessions have increased many times over. The Lord has blessed you wherever I worked. But now, how long must it be before I do something for my own family? For my own family too." So Laban asked, "What should I give you?" "You don't need to give me a thing," Jacob replied. "But if you agree to this one condition, I'll continue to care for your flocks and protect them. Let me walk among all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and the spotted or speckled goats. These animals will be my wages. My integrity will testify for me later on when you come to verify that I've taken only the wages we agreed on. If I have in my possession any goat that is not speckled or spotted, or any sheep that is not dark-colored, it will be considered stolen." "Agreed," said Laban. "It will be as you say." So that day Laban removed the male goats that were streaked or spotted, or the female goats that were speckled or spotted, or that had any white on them, and all the dark-colored lambs, and put them in the care of his sons. Then he separated them from Jacob by a three-day journey while Jacob was taking care of the rest of Laban's flocks. But Jacob took fresh cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees. He made white streaks by peeling them, making the white inner wood in the branches visible. Then he set up the peeled branches in all the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink. He set up the branches in front of the flocks when they were in heat and came to drink. When the sheep mated in front of the branches, they gave birth to young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. Jacob removed these lambs, but he made the rest of the flock face the streaked and completely dark-colored animals in Laban's flock. So he made separate flocks for himself and did not mix them with Laban's flocks. When the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would set up the branches in the troughs in front of the flock so they would mate near the branches. But if the animals were weaker, he did not set the branches there, so the weaker animals ended up belonging to Laban and the stronger animals to Jacob. In this way, Jacob became extremely prosperous. He owned large flocks, male and female servants, camels and donkeys, and that is the word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Sermon title, we have three titles. Number one, these animals will be my wages. These animals will be my wages. And number two title, Jacob and his flocks. Number two title, Jacob and his flocks. Number three, consider it stolen. Consider it stolen. And to begin this way, greetings one and all, to all my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever you are. It's good to be back again and be talking, declaring about the testimony of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last week, I wasn't able to bring a message because we had an incident in my family that saw us rushing to the emergency room with my oldest son, Tawanda, who had two of his fingers cut, and one of them was cut off, like severed in two, and had to be taken in for surgery. We had to take him to the emergency room, and it took us about 6 hours before the doctors were able to take him in to reattach the fingers. So it was a harrowing day for Tawanda and my whole family, but we praise God for his faithfulness and the compassion towards us to give us relief from our grief and fear of the West. And that to say, for those who don't know, the prognosis on Tawanda's fingers is very good, according to the doctors. That's what they told us after the surgery and also the 7 days follow-up visit. So they expect that he should be able to retain full function of both his fingers after he has been healed. Okay? So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your prayers. My family is very appreciative of your prayers, appreciative of your knees for us before the Lord. And please continue to pray for us. We could never use too much prayer. Okay? So for those who have no other means to get in touch with me as to know what's going on, I really go without preaching. So if I go quiet, there usually is something going on. So just keep praying for us, okay? Just keep praying for us. The times are evil and the devil is all over the place, but the Lord is sovereign, okay? So we live with that knowledge. And with that, we hop back to our gospel testimony in the story of Jacob. We are still in the book of Ephesians, but I decided to take a detour and bring some gospel understanding from the Old Testament like we always do. But the Lord has been very kind to open up the scriptures to us that we may see the testimony of our Christ, where it was hidden before, hidden from the wise and the prudent, but now has been revealed to the babes and the suckling. And we have some professing Christians still who don't know what to do with these pictures of the gospel in the Old Testament. They think that they are there for us to moralize them and to learn what things to do or not to do, which is a complete failure to understand the testimony that all these things testify of Christ if we have the right hermeneutic, the right way of reading them. Okay? So don't be offended if we find in a story a character like Miss Potiphar doing what she was going to do with Joseph and then think that you are not in the testimony of Miss Potiphar. No, that's the wrong way of thinking it. Yes, you and I are the ones who are portrayed in the character of Miss Potiphar. Okay? We are the adulteresses with respect to the matter of sin as far as God sees us. And the only way that we would be saved from going to jail, going to hell, being condemned would be if we are left with the garments of another. So that's very clear gospel teaching. I don't know why people think that they're so righteous in themselves that they can't find that they're actually worse than Miss Potiphar, you know? But here we are. Jacob has come to Padan Aram as a man on a mission on account of his brother Esau, who sought revenge because he had been dispossessed of his birthright blessing, you know, the transaction. The chicanery that was played by Mom and Jacob to clothe Jacob in the best garments of his older brother and to get the birthright blessing because of that, which of course was a picture of our own salvation being imputed with the best clothes, getting the best clothes, the righteousness of Christ, and getting his blessing and him getting condemned in our place. Okay? So Esau was fuming with anger and was seeking to kill his brother Jacob. Jacob the sinner, Jacob the heel catcher, Jacob the deceiver, and rightly so. And yet this sinner was loved and blessed of God. And that to say the offense of grace and election. Esau had every right to seek revenge, but his plans were foiled by the ever watchful mom, Rebecca, who advised Jacob that he should seek refuge in Padan Aram. And whilst at it, to get a bride from there, because his soul was vexed by the girls in Canaan. The girls in Canaan were raising or driving a blood pressure high. And this testimony of hers cracks me up all the time that I read it. Here, this in Genesis 27:46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? Apparently, maybe Jacob was already hanging out with the daughters of Heth, just sticking around the house, going, check them out. At the well, fetching water for them, and mom was like, okay, I'm not happy about this whole thing. Let's do something about it, okay? So Jacob is a man on a mission and has arrived at his uncle Laban's house, the uncle who had two daughters, Leah, the elder, and Rachel, the younger, and more beautiful. Rachel is... She, Jacob, had met at the well and loved her. Jacob had fell in love at the first sight of Rachel. She is the first one that he saw. And that to say, Christ Jesus, the man on a mission to get a bride from those born of the flesh, fell in love with his church, his bride, and that at the recommendation of God the Father and the Holy Spirit, as Jacob was told by his father Isaac and even his mother Rebecca, to go find a woman from among their relatives from Laban's house. And so Christ came to get his bride also at the recommendation of God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And that to say, by the triune God who is involved in the matter of salvation. The point is that your salvation is a Trinitarian salvation. The Father is involved in it. So as the Son, as he accomplished it, and the Holy Spirit, as he applies it and calls those who are the recipients of it. Okay? So Christ made the church first in election before he even came to the world, because the body of Christ, the church, was chosen and given him by the Father from before the foundation of the world. The names written before the foundation of the world, all those who should be saved, known and loved of God before we were even formed. That is the faithful testimony of the scriptures. So Jacob started working for Laban that he may be married to the one whom he loved, and this with the blessing of Laban. And so he put in his 7 years and another 7 years, 7 complete years for each of the daughters of Laban. And that is to say, he made a full payment for each of his bride. In other words, he made full satisfaction to what Laban required for him to take off his possession rightly. And that to say, Christ Jesus made full satisfaction to what God demanded of him, that he may have his bride, the church. And that satisfaction did not come because you and I believed, that you and I walked the aisle, that you became a Christian, that you were water baptized, that you said a prayer. Those things are not what Laban demanded of Jacob for him to have his bride. And surely are not what God demanded for you to meet by yourself to be saved. Christ alone met the conditions of salvation. The bride was his to obtain, to marry, as Jacob alone met the conditions for him to have Rachel. Rachel did not work to cause her own marriage to Jacob. But there was a caveat to this transaction. There was some fine print on the night that Jacob was supposed to have his bride. Laban played tricks on him. Apparently tricks ran in the DNA of this family from Laban, Uncle Laban, he's a trickster, to Mom Rebecca, the sister of Laban, a trickster, and Jacob himself is a trickster. So he got the chicanery business from his mother's side. So Laban played tricks on him and gave him Leah, the older sister, instead of Rachel, for whom he had labored. Question. Why give the woman to Jacob at night? Why not do it during the day? So that there's no confusion about the matter. What is God thinking? Why would this happen at night? Actually, in Shona culture, under which I was raised, when a girl elopes to go and be married to a boyfriend, she comes at night. And she comes in the company of her aunt. And with the head covering, she covers her face so that none can see her face until she has been paid a certain amount of money. It's not usually a whole lot of money, but the cultural idea is for her to raise a little bit of cash because she's going into a new family to begin a new life, and so she needs the resources. And so she will come in the evening and be some distance away from the homestead of where she's going to get married or where she's eloping. And then the process begins. The family that she's getting married to will have to come and receive her. But the process of getting it to the house, she's going to be making demands. She's going to get paid. It's cultural. That's what we grew up seeing. Okay? And of course, there are a lot of other interesting cultural details there that we have not the time to speak to. But only to say this. Many shenanigans happen when things happen at night. Right? And so Jacob was not spared. He was tricked, and Leah was given him at night instead of Rachel. And on the morrow, in the morning, Jacob realizes that he had been shortchanged. He had been given a 6 for a 9. And so he had some objections. And so he summoned his father-in-law to a hearing. Verse 25 and 26 of Genesis 29. In the morning, Jacob discovered it was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What in the world have you done to me? Didn't I work for you in exchange for Rachel? Why have you tricked me? It is not our custom here," Laban replied, "to give the younger daughter in marriage before the firstborn." Laban said, "It is not our custom here. It is not our law. It is not our way of doing things that the younger should be married before the older. And that to say, it is not God's custom that Christ would be married to his church until the old covenant of the law had been fulfilled, the old covenant being represented by Leah. So the old covenant of the law has to be fulfilled and satisfied and be set aside that the new may be established. This is very clear New Testament teaching that the old covenant was passing away. It was fading away. Even though it had glory, that glory was surpassed by the glory of the New Testament. And that's why Rachel was more beautiful than Leah. So every jot and tittle of the law had to be satisfied by Christ working. And that means by his obedience. And surely, after Jacob had done the time for Rachel, as they had mutually agreed with Laban, he finally got his bride. But the constant refrain is that Jacob never loved Leah. Jacob never loved Leah, and this could not be forced on Jacob. And this testimony we have been taught repeatedly, and so to say, Christ's chief interest is not the law, but his bride. This matter is not understood. Christ did not come here with the law as his chief interest. His chief interest was to get his bride. The law is what was standing between the justification and glorification of his bride. And so he came and satisfied the law, set it aside, and he got married to his bride. Christ fulfilled the law for the sake of his bride. And Christ is now the law for his bride. Christ, the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The believer is now in union with Christ Jesus. They have their life and righteousness in Christ Jesus. This matter of union with Christ is very pervasive in the New Testament doctrine. And that is in contradiction to the relationship that the believer has to the law. But God was working a lot of gospel detail with this drama, with the birthing of the women and the handmaids who were pictures of the Holy Spirit. The handmaids, servants, were given in both cases by Laban, and that to help to bear responsibilities and even children to Jacob. So you see that we had the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, and we have the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And so we see that testimony played out in these two girls. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is also involved in the salvation process in both the Old and the New Testaments, even to the birthing of the children who belong to God. Those in the Old Testament who were elect also had the same faith as we do, and that faith came by the Holy Spirit. If they were born again, if they were regenerated, it was by the Holy Spirit being the servant. Okay? So, the Holy Spirit is involved in the birthing process of the children who belong to God, just as the handmaids of Leah and Rachel bore them children that belonged to Jacob. Do you see that? But we'll skip some of the detail of this saga and jump to our story in Genesis 30. Very controversial. There's just a lot of interesting detail that is in this story of Rachel and his sister and Jacob. In Genesis 30, from verse 25 and following, is where the Lord took me to bring a message to you. And we'll pick up from verse 25 where Moses says, "After Rachel had given birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me on my way so that I can go home to my own country.' So the sisters have been having a family feud of sorts on giving birth to children. But Leah was in the lead by 1,000 miles. But finally the Lord opened Rachel's womb that she may also bear children. And she had Joseph. And at this point, Jacob thought it was time to get moving back to his roots, to his own country, to his parents. At the birth of Joseph, Jacob was like, 'Okay, time up. I think it's time for me to go back to my own country.'" And that is a very important testimony, because Christ came on a mission. And after he was done, he had to go back where? John 16:28, the Lord said, "I came forth from the Father, just as Jacob came forth from his father Isaac, and have come into the world." Christ came into the world. He came on a very specific mission to this world. "Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." So Christ has completed his journey, came from the Father, came to the world, accomplished his work. Now he goes back to the Father. He prayed to that end in John 17 that he had finished the work that was given him to do. And so Jacob has to go back to his country, because the very idea that he had to go back means he had come on a mission and that he had been successful at his mission. He had accomplished his mission. Jacob came to get a wife, a bride for himself. And he had accomplished that, so it was time to go. Let's hear Jacob expand on it for us. Genesis 30, verse 26. Jacob says, "Let me take my wives and my children whom I have acquired by working for you. Then I will depart, because you know how hard I have worked for you." Did you hear that from Jacob? He said, "Let me take my wives and my children whom I have acquired." He has acquired a family for himself. But how? "By working for you," he said. "Working for you, Laban. In respect of the church, the wives and children are not necessarily different groups or categories of people, but are titles of how the church relates to God and to Christ as the bride, and also as the sons or children of God. But it can be lost to our thinking, to our theological thinking, that among the elect of God are also little children. God has the elect from every age group." Okay? So Jacob acquired his wives and children because of his labor. Pay attention to that. He has to have his wives and children because he worked. He fulfilled the condition that was set for him. And the Lord says the same thing. He has to have his church and his children that he acquired, that he purchased with his own blood, the church that he purchased at the cost of his own life. He has to have it. He made the payment. He has to have his church. And Jacob says, "Laban, if we can agree on one thing, I need to go, but I'll live in the company of those that I labored for and acquired. I'm not going alone. I am not going alone. They are payment for my labor. I owe you nothing on them. They are mine. My labor was enough to transfer ownership right to me from you. They're mine now. Hear this from Jacob. Then I'll depart because you know how hard I worked for you. I'll depart because you know, labor, you know how hard I worked for you. Jacob worked hard to acquire his family. And so Christ worked hard to serve you and me. He prayed with loud cries and tears. Christ, the man of sorrows, Christ acquainted with grief, smitten of God and afflicted. And by the labor of his soul, God's righteous servant shall justify the many because he worked hard for them. He went into labor for them. Christ, by his death on the cross, birthed children unto God. He shall look at the labor of his soul and be satisfied. So do not come and say Christ will lose any of his sheep. It is like saying Jacob has to leave some of his family back with Laban after he had worked for them. It is an abomination of a teaching. It is false teaching that Christ would lose any of his sheep. It is an abomination because people are not arguing and understanding the gospel from the side of Christ. They are making it about themselves and about what they do and what they do not do. So Christ becomes a core partner or is sidelined in the matter of which he should be the center of. So Jacob had to return to his own country with a bride and children to show. And so Christ has to return to the Father, not with empty hands, but with the whole church to show his Father and say, here I am with the children that God gave to me. Look at my harvest, the harvest of wheat. His labor could not be for nothing, could not be dependent on the sinner deciding and choosing. That is just not the gospel equation or transaction, even though it's popular in the majority of the false church. Verse 27 of Genesis 30, but Laban said to him, if I have found favor in your sight, please stay here, for I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me on account of you. He added, verse 28, just name your wages, I'll pay whatever you want. Laban has surely been blessed on account of Jacob. He was blessed on account of another, just as Babylon was blessed on account of Daniel, as Egypt was blessed on account of Joseph. And so the sinner is blessed and can only be blessed on account of another. And that means on account of Christ. This is the matter of representation and imputation, the matter of substitution, which is the foundation or pillar of the gospel of grace, of God's free and sovereign grace. Because you are blessed on account of another, not on account of you. There's nothing that you are or could do to cause God to bless you for your own sake. It has to be on account of another. No salvation in any other name but the name of the Lord Jesus. So Laban is speaking gospel truth that many professing Christians do not know or understand. But Laban tries to pull a negotiation to get Jacob to stay just a little longer and maybe find another opportunity to trick him that he may never ever have to return to his parents. Mind you, Jacob has been here for 14 years already and counting without seeing his parents and with no text messaging. He sorely missed them. He surely did miss his parents. 14 long years. So Laban says, you name your wages, and he will pay Jacob whatever he wanted. Let us hear Jacob's response to that. Verse 29 of Genesis 30. You know how I have worked for you, Jacob replied, and how well your livestock have fed under my care. Jacob says, Laban, you know my work. You know the quality of my work, my faithfulness to you, and how well your livestock fed under my care. They did well. They did very well. They multiplied. They were healthy. And Jacob is speaking to his excellent shepherding skills. And that is Christ speaking to his faithfulness as the good shepherd of the sheep, that the church will always fare, will always do well, will hold the gospel testimony under his care, and none for whom Christ died will be lost. None, not a single soul, not a single person for whom Christ came and redeemed is going to be lost. Verse 30, Jacob says, indeed, you had little before I arrived, but now your possessions have increased many times over. The Lord has blessed you wherever I worked. The Lord has blessed you wherever I, Jacob, worked. You, my dear brother and sister, the Lord has blessed you not because you worked, but because of where Christ worked and what Christ did. The Lord has blessed you wherever I worked, wherever Christ worked. Wherever Christ worked is where your blessing is. That's where your righteousness, your wisdom, your sanctification, your redemption is. It is all by the hands of Christ. But now, how long must it be before I do something for my own family too? My dear friends, you have to hear this again. God has blessed wherever Christ has worked. If Christ did not work there, if Christ did not plant and water there, whoever is building in vain. And it is not like God had little before Christ came. That statement just means through Christ, God has brought many to life and righteousness and has made himself known to these who did not have any of their own, you and I, no righteousness and no life in ourselves. And Job says he wants time and space that he may do something for his family too, to take care of the needs of his family in his own space. And that to say, Christ is about the welfare of his family, his bride, the church. Christ Jesus already was Lord and sustaining all things by the word of his power in providence, but he had to do something special, something unique, go to a distant land to come to the world and accomplish salvation for his family, and then to keep feeding it through the Holy Spirit in the gospel teaching. That's what I mean. Verse 31, so Laban asked, what should I give you? You don't need to give me a thing. Laban asked and said, name your price, Jacob. What should I give you to get you to stick around, to get you to stay a little longer? But Jacob said, no worries, you don't need to give me a thing. Pay attention, we're developing some wonderful gospel testimony. Pay attention to the conversation. Jacob says, you don't need to give me a thing. But this one condition, if we can agree on it, then I'll stay. Jacob replied, but if you agree to this one condition, I'll continue to care for your flocks and protect them. Jacob has a love affair with the flocks of Laban. Remember, Laban is a picture of God the Father. Jacob is a picture of Christ who has come to get his bride and worked for his bride. And so you see that Jacob's concern is in marriage, protecting his family, and that taking care of the flocks. That is his concern, because that is Christ's concern. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Christ gave us the Holy Spirit as seal and down payment. The Holy Spirit is anointing as the teacher and the comforter. But I'm going to raise my hand because I have a question. Why would God get us to this discussion between Laban and Jacob? After all, Jacob had been faithful to all that was required of him to get his wives and should be allowed to go in peace. At this point, Jacob should be allowed to go in peace. No, not so fast. Because God was unfolding the gospel ministry, the gospel mystery. He had to use the same characters to continue teaching the many aspects of salvation. And remember, I always say, if you're a regular listener to our teaching, that salvation has many moving parts. It is not like a Tesla that it just has some battery in the back and some motor. This is an old engine with a lot of moving parts. The message of Christ has a lot of moving parts. And so you have to keep moving with the story, because the camera is constantly moving from one scene to the next scene that is portraying something about the work of Christ. You understand me? So let us hear the unfolding of the conversation in verse 32. Jacob says, "Let me walk among all your flocks today and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and the spotted or speckled goats. These animals will be my wages." And that's the title of our message. "These animals will be my wages." Jacob says, "Let me walk among not just some of your flocks, but all of your flocks, and from them I shall remove every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and the spotted and speckled goats." And he says, "These animals will be my wages. These animals will be my wages. If I should stay and work for you, these animals will be my wages." Many gospel points to draw. Number one, Jacob walked from among all the flock of Laban. Jacob walked from among all the flocks of Laban and chose or picked out the type of sheep or goats that he wanted that met his criteria. And that is say what? Election according to grace. There's not a single sheep or goat that bleated or said to Jacob, me. No, the condition of the election was set by Jacob. Jacob determined the kind that he was willing to work for, to tend to protect and to acquire. To acquire as his wages. Now to the nature of those chosen. How beautiful were they? Jacob said he wanted all the speckled or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and the spotted or speckled goats. And that is say what? That they were not the best looking of the sheep or goats. Otherwise, Laban would have objected to Jacob's suggestion. That is what I think. But then, they could have been the most beautiful also. I can't judge one way or the other. But I understand the gospel testimony behind it. In the context of salvation, Jacob did not take the best looking of the flock. The spotted and the speckled would not have been fit for a sacrifice if you're going by the Old Testament understanding of sacrifice, because these animals were used for sacrifice. For sacrifice, The Old Testament teaching was that the animal could not have any blemish. Remember those gospel pictures from Leviticus especially. But these were not to be offered as sacrifice, but to be taken and given to Jacob. Jacob, a type of Christ. Remember who Jacob is. Jacob, at this part of the scene, is a type of Christ. And he's asking for sheep and goats of a particular kind. He said, these ones, this kind that are spotted and speckled, will be my wages, will be the wages for my labor. And to say what? That the ones that Christ chose to be recipients of the work of his salvation are sinners. Like real sinners, their sin is not hidden. It's clear for everyone to see. They are spotted with sin, speckled with sin, spoiled of sin, dark colored because of sin. That is their most distinguishing mark, sin. That's why in the testimony of the tax collector in Luke 18, the sinner said what? Lord, be merciful to me. He was a picture of those who were speckled and spotted. And the Lord himself said what? Hear this, Luke 5, verse 25 to 32. Luke records for us and says, then Levi gave a great banquet in his house for Jesus. And there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law complained to his disciples, saying what? Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Levi, that's number three of the children of Leah. Judah is number four. He throws a party, invites Christ, and Christ begins to dine, begins to eat, to converse. Christ begins to talk, to chit-chat with tax collectors and sinners. And the law had something to say to that. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? The Pharisees and scribes are thinking, how could one with such claims of being the Son of God dine with the tax collectors and harlots? That is the testimony of the law. How could you, who is unrighteous, dine with Christ? Because the law sees you as unrighteous in yourself. How could you dine with Christ? How could this one who claims to be the Son of God dine with tax collectors and harlots? How is he entering the sheep pen and not getting the supposedly clean ones like us, the Pharisees? Because the Pharisees thought they were righteous before the law. They did not think themselves spotted or speckled. Jesus answered them, verse 31, those who are well don't need a physician, but those who are sick do. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What is the Lord saying? He's saying he came to call the spotted, the speckled, and the dark-colored, which are pictures of impurity, pictures of imperfection, pictures of sin. Because the Pharisees are saying, why are you hanging out with these who are spotted and speckled? Because of sin. They are clearly sinners. These tax collectors, they steal money from people. This one is a harlot, prostitutes. Don't you see their spots? If you are the Son of God, how can you not see the spots of sin that is on these people? And the Lord says, no. I've come on a mission to select the spotted and the speckled and make them the wages of my labor. Hear this. Luke 14. 15 to 22. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Let's hear the response by the Lord Jesus, verse 16 of Luke 14. Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many." A certain man. "And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.'" Very good reason. Very good reason. "And another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.'" Another very good reason. "Still another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. I have my honeymoon tickets. I'm going to go to the cruise. The COVID restrictions have just been relaxed. I cannot come to hear the gospel preached. I have some other pressing business.'" My dear friends, God will give you a very genuine reason to cause you not to hear the gospel. And you'll be justified in your reasoning. God can keep you busy in your foolishness that you never get to hear the true gospel. Keep you busy, keep you religious, keep you occupied with all your foolishness. And before you know it, just like the rich man opened his eyes and he was in hell. Let's hear this from the Lord. Verse 21. "So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. Bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Bring me here the abnormal ones. Those are the wages of the Lord. These are they whom he came to serve. These who are on his guest list." The guest list of Jesus has the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And these are not matters of physical disability, but of spiritual disability. The poor in spirit, the poor who lack righteousness. Anyone who does not have the righteousness of Christ is poor. You are so poor. Bill Gates is poor. As far as God is concerned, an unbeliever is naked and poor. It doesn't matter what station they have in this life. The ones that Christ calls are maimed. They can't walk right. They're lame and they're blind until he opens their eyes. Because those who think they can see, Christ says, "Because you say you see, therefore your sin remains." These are they, as I said, that he came to serve and to call to faith and repentance. These are they who were in the pictures of the kinds of animals that Jacob selected. Jacob continued and said, verse 33, "My integrity will testify for me later on, when you come to verify that I have taken only the wages we agreed on. If I have in my possession any goat that is not speckled or spotted, or any sheep that is not dark colored, it will be considered stolen." Another one of our titles. Verse 34, "Agreed," said Laban, "it will be as you say." This is one of the most fundamental words from the mouth of Jacob and agreed to by Laban. Jacob says, "My integrity, my righteousness will testify for me later on of the things that I have done to acquire the things in my possession." When did a hill catcher become an honest and faithful person? Because he is bearing the testimony of Christ. God made Jacob faithful to the cause for which this story was written, as a testimony of greater things. My integrity, my righteousness will testify for me later on, for Christ later on in your judgment. His integrity, his righteousness will testify that he acquired his church rightfully, that he fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law for you. His righteousness, his integrity will testify on that day that he is a faithful and able Savior who rendered full satisfaction to the law. But Jacob said, my integrity, my righteousness will testify for me. Testify about what? When you come to verify that I have taken only the wages we agreed on, only the wages that we agreed on, if I have in my possession any goat that is not speckled or spotted, or any sheep that is not dark colored, it will be considered stolen. When Laban comes to check on Jacob's possessions to verify that they were legitimately acquired, an audit on his possessions, he will see that Jacob only took the wages that they agreed on and were duly his, and no more and no less. And that is to say, Christ agreed with the Father what it is that he would get as his wages. Just as I've spoken in previous messages about David and King Saul with the matter of Goliath, David asked King Saul and said, what shall be given the man who shall take down Goliath, who shall fight and kill Goliath? And King Saul, in the picture of God the Father, said, that man will be given the king's daughter and shall not pay taxes. The king's daughter, David, a type of Christ, going to war to take down Goliath, has to get the king's daughter, the church. And here, Jacob says, what shall be given me? Jacob says, when you, Laban, come to do an audit, you shall see that I only took the wages that we agreed on. And that is to say, Christ agreed with the Father what it is that he would get as his wages. And that this matter of our salvation was agreed between them, and that agreement has to be honored and will be honored and has been honored. Honored by the resurrection of Christ and the sitting of Christ. None of what Christ agreed with the Father to get his bride will fall to the ground. Your salvation and your glorification are part of the wages that Christ has to be given because of what he did. Salvation is not a random work that has a people that God does not know who shall be persuaded to come to Christ or not. God is not waiting and hoping for the best, wringing his fingers, hoping that you and I will one day come to our own senses and come and be counted among the wages for Christ. This is not a matter that men and women sit down to determine. It is beyond our ability to think. It is about the wages that Christ has to be paid, as was agreed between him and the Father. He will build his church, and the gates of free will and hell will not prevail against it. He has to get his wages. So if Laban should enter the pen of Jacob's flock, as he will later in Genesis 31 to do an audit of the flocks, this is what will happen. If I have in my possession, Laban, if you should come and you find in my possessions any goat that is not speckled or spotted, or any sheep that is not dark colored, it will be considered stolen. Jacob says, Laban, if you happen to find in my possession any animal that did not meet that criteria as we agreed, then Jacob should be called a thief, should be called a liar. He should be dispossessed of that which he stole. The part of the flock that did not meet these criteria should be considered stolen. And that is excellent gospel testimony to say, there's none that belong to Christ who is righteous in themselves. There's none who is in Christ whom Christ did not already labored for, made payment for, made holy already by the offering of himself. If there's any who is not speckled or spotted or dark colored, then that person does not belong to Christ. They should be considered stolen. But Christ does not steal and cannot steal. And so only sinners shall be found in the true company of Christ. But here's the problem. A lot of professing Christians do not think they are that bad of sinners. That's why they get offended when we tell them that they are not. Esther, if you really follow the teaching of Esther, you find out that Esther, though she does carry the picture of the church of Christ, the majority of her testimony is as a type of Christ to redeem her people, to intercede for the salvation of her people. We have come under the decree that kills, that destroys, written by Haman. Yeah? My dear friends, you cannot understand this gospel. You cannot understand this gospel. You cannot believe the gospel, actually, if your opinion of yourself is too high. I'm telling you the truth. If your opinion of your own righteousness is too high, then you cannot really understand God's way of salvation, because God's opinion is very low with respect to your own righteousness, that you are not good. Remember Romans 3 from verse 10. There's none righteous. There's none who seeks after God. Yeah? So you have to appreciate biblical anthropology, that is God's view of men as fallen, as sinners who have no ability to help themselves. All those who should come to Christ have to be ones who are truly sinners. And you only come to the understanding that you're a true sinner, a real sinner, only by the grace of God. Otherwise, you're going to die in self-righteousness, just like the Pharisees. Yeah? So don't think you're good and better people. No, you're not. None is good but one who is God. But Jacob says, no, that kind that won't have the spots, that is not speckled, if you find it in my company, it surely does not belong to me. It surely has been stolen. It surely has been stolen. If you find a sinner who is not a sinner, if you find a person in Christ who is not a real sinner, that person does not belong to Christ. Yes, they may be in church, but they don't belong to Christ. Verse 35. So that day Laban removed the male goats that were streaked or spotted, or the female goats that were speckled or spotted, or that had any white on them, and all the dark-colored lambs, and put them in the care of his sons. Then he separated them from Jacob by a three-day journey while Jacob was taking care of the rest of Laban's flocks. So Laban did a lab experiment, as it were. He had a very scientific approach to this matter. and yet also a very Wall Street approach to it, managing risk on his side. So he removed the ones that were strictly spotted, both of the males and the females, and put them in the care of his sons. And he added an additional security measure by separating them by a 3 days journey, separating the flocks between his sons and Jacob. So this left Jacob with Laban's flock that had none of these other features. So Laban seemed to have worked his magic that he learned on Wall Street. He thought he had hedged his risk very well. And as for Jacob, he also was hoping to prosper from this transaction, trusting in the faithfulness of his God. But let us see what happened. Who won this bet? So Jacob is starting from a clean slate. Zero animals that possess the characteristics or features that he stated. And Laban, I'm thinking, does not have high hopes that Jacob will be able to pull this off. But because this is a matter of inheritance, you see, these are inheritance issues. Who shall go home with what? Is Jacob going to clean Laban out, or is it going to be the other way around? So Laban has his fingers crossed that he will take Jacob to the cleaners and be enriched on account of Jacob again. But see that Jacob named his wages before he even started this particular deal. He was confident that God would grant him his wages as he had stated them, as Christ was 100% sure that he would be granted the wages of his labor, as he agreed with the Father and prayed to the Father and said, John 17:24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So all those that were chosen and given to Christ, redeemed by Christ, shall be where Christ is in spite of themselves, to behold his glory, and none can snatch them from his hands or the Father's hands. None who belong to Christ are going to get lost. And that prayer was answered. That is a prayer that God answered. There is no way to undo that prayer. Your silliness and mine cannot undo that kind of prayer. Okay? So here Jacob's formula of getting his wages, verse 37. But Jacob took fresh cut branches from poplar, almond, and plane trees. He made white streaks by peeling them, making the white inner wood in the branches visible. Jacob took some fresh cut branches of poplar, almond, and plane trees and made white streaks by peeling them, exposing the inner white wood in the branches. See that the branches were freshly cut. They were not old. Let us keep working. Verse 38 and 39. Then he set up the peeled branches in all the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink. He set up the branches in front of the flocks when they were in heat and came to drink. When the sheep mated in front of the branches, they gave birth to young that were streaked or speckled or spotted. The peeled branches, my dear friends, they had to be cut from the tree. They had to be peeled off the bark. And that to say, they were naked. They were naked branches as a testimony of Christ Jesus, who was peeled off, naked on the cross, cut off from the land of the living, Isaiah 53, cut off on the cross, and placed in the watering troughs or troughs, and that was Jacob's winning formula. This is the strategy that worked. And this was by faith, my dear friends, this was by faith. When the sheep had communion around this prescription, they gave birth to young that were streaked, speckled, or spotted, and without fail. And Jacob was no emeritus professor of genetics and crossbreeding strategies. How did he come up with such a formula? Because surely, if you and I would try it here and now, it would not work. You could not give that formula to any geneticist, to any guru in DNA and genetics, and be able to pull up that, and be able to do that. So how did it work for Jacob? It worked because of Christ. God is he who was behind it. The streaked, the speckled, or spotted are born, or were born, to be the wages for Christ only through drinking water from the troughs that had been freshly cut, and that to say, dead trees, but that were freshly cut. And that means Christ Jesus. Pay attention to what is happening to the trees. The branches have been cut. They are fresh. And they have been stripped to expose the inner white part of the branches. So the trees had to be cut to achieve this. You could not just take the flock of or flocks of Laban to the planted tree. This would not work. It had to be cut. And so Christ had to come and be cut down and be crucified, that we may be born again of God, that we may drink from the trough that is fresh juice from the freshly crucified Christ. The Christ who does not die can't save you. That's the point. The tree that is not cut, the tree that is not cut and the branches not stripped, cannot get Jacob what he wants. The Christ who comes and does not die according to the scriptures cannot draw all men to himself, the elect to himself. Jesus said, I am the bread from heaven, the bread of life, discourse in John 6. If a man eats of this bread, they'll live. And if they'll drink of his water, the Holy Spirit, they'll never thirst again. And this happens only if he gets cut, freshly cut. Christ Jesus did not begin to decompose, my friends. He was holy. Decomposition happens to those who have sinned. So the branches were fresh and yet cut off and peeled and yet were giving life to a particular kind of sheep, the spotted, the speckled, the dark colored. That is what is compatible with Christ. Only the sinner is compatible with Christ. The self-righteous, he condemns. You understand me? Only those who are spotted and speckled and are dark colored because of sin are they who are compatible. Are they who have life and righteousness in Christ? Are they for whom Christ died? And any of those who drink of this water, this living water, from this trough, who bear fruit unto God, are made wise unto salvation, and are given to Christ as his wages, as his wages. Verse 40. Jacob removed these lambs, but he made the rest of the flock face the streaked and completely dark colored animals in Laban's field. So he made separate flocks for himself and did not mix them with Laban's flocks. Jacob made separate flocks for himself and did not mix them with Laban's flocks. That is to say, Christ has already separated his flock from the rest of those that do not belong to him. He knows his sheep, and he separates them from the rest by the kind of water they drink and the gospel testimony they bring. The Holy Spirit is the water that flows out of the cut trees. The Holy Spirit comes from the crucified Christ. That's the point. The Holy Spirit, I'm not saying the Holy Spirit comes from cut trees, but someone is going to hear this and misinterpret my statement. I'm speaking to the typology that is in Genesis 30 and relating it to the work of Christ and the giving of the Holy Spirit on account of the death and resurrection of Christ. So the Holy Spirit is what is in the picture of the water. It is not some distilled or bottled water that some so-called man of God prayed for with his so-called anointing. The lawkeeper, who is a lawbreaker, though the name Christ is not the same as the one who is boasting in the cross alone. They are not the same people. Those who mix law and grace are not following Jacob's formula. Jacob's formula separates things. Hear this again. So he made separate flocks for himself and did not mix them with Laban's flocks. He made a separation. Yeah? Verse 41 to 43. When the stronger females were in heat, Jacob would set up the branches in the troughs in front of the flock so they would mate near the branches. But if the animals were weaker, he did not set the branches there, so the weaker animals ended up belonging to Laban and the stronger animals to Jacob. In this way, Jacob became extremely prosperous. He owned large flocks, male and female servants, camels and donkeys. Jacob became prosperous by God's doing, as Joseph became prosperous by God's doing. For his formula was cross or Christ-centered. There's no other formula to be prospered by God in the matter of life and righteousness. When we talk prosperity, real prosperity is not the matter of physical things. The matter of things that perish with the using is the matter of eternal life and righteousness. Not having your sins imputed to you, to be a sinner like you, and still not be answerable to any of your sins, that's the matter of prosperity. My dear friends, you have to come and drink water from the trough that has some freshly cut tree. The tree of life, Mount Calvary tree, Christ Jesus. Remember the donkey jawbone that Samson used to slew the Philistines with. It was a fresh donkey jawbone. The foolishness of the cross. It was fresh. And by that fresh donkey jawbone, Christ, Samson, slew the Philistines. And by the freshly cut trees, Jacob got his wages. Conclusion. Jacob may have been played by Laban, but it was not Laban, but God who was preaching. Laban was only a type of God the Father who was speaking beyond his ability to comprehend. and Jacob a type of Christ who had to fulfill all these conditions that were imposed on him that he may have his treasured prize, Rachel. And not only that, God continued to teach us about how we became the sheep of Christ. That it was not by us choosing, but God choosing, Christ choosing, and stating the conditions of those who should be found on his guest list as those who are the speckled, spotted, and dark-colored, the brown, the blind, the lame, the maimed, the deaf, to say the unrighteous. And for these, it was agreed that they would be the wages for the labor of Jacob as there would be the wages for the labor of Christ. And here the words of Christ through Jacob again, verse 32 and following, "Let me walk among all your flocks today." Christ speaking to the Father and says, "Let me walk among all your people, all your creation, and remove from them every speckled or spotted sheep, every dark colored lamb, and the spotted or speckled goats." As Jacob said, "These animals will be my wages. These ones, these sinners, will be the wages for Christ's obedience." Your coming to heaven was not earned by you, but it is an honoring of what Christ did. Christ is he who is being paid through glorification in your salvation. My integrity, my righteousness will testify for me later on when you come to verify that I have taken only the wages we agreed on. My righteousness will vindicate me on that day that none of those that I have as my bride came through the back door. They all are the ones that I labored for. If I have in my possession any goat that is not speckled or spotted or any sheep that is not dark colored, it will be considered stolen. Consider stolen. Your salvation, your vindication before God shall be according to the testimony of Christ, not your integrity, but his integrity. To say, "I worked very hard, I fulfilled all the righteousness for him and for her, I have taken good care of God's flock. Please do not shortchange me. If any should be found in my possession who is not a sinner, then I store them. They are not mine. Take them away from me and put them where they belong. Any found without my righteousness, they are not mine. They should be taken away." And to this Laban said what? Verse 34, agreed. "It will be as you say." Hear the words of Laban. "Agreed, it will be as you say." And that is God the Father saying to Christ, "Agreed, it shall be as you say. It shall be as Christ has spoken." It shall be as Christ has spoken and as agreed between him and the Father. And that is the end of the matter. And that is the testimony of your salvation. Free and secure in Christ, the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, the gospel that we declare and have believed by God's grace alone. Amen. We're done. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless you. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for the wonderful testimony that you gave us of Christ in the story of Laban and Joseph and how he got his family after he had laboring for another 7 years, laboring 7 years to fulfill what was required of Leah to be taken, and then another 7 years for Rachel, and having his possessions and having rightfully acquired them, according to his integrity, is a picture of Christ, and the testimony of the flocks, the spotted, the speckled, the dark-colored, is those that we found in the possession of Jacob on account of his fulfillment of what they agreed as wages to Jacob. And so Christ, we have his church comprising the sinners spotted and speckled because of sin and yet covered by the righteousness of Christ freely imputed to them. Thank you, Lord, we honor you. Thank you for keeping me, blessing me and your people, for giving me strength to come and speak again of the same testimony of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.